What's up, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Dynasty Diehards. I am here with my boy, John Helmkamp, who just got a fresh haircut and is looking slick. John, I'm jealous because I don't have that much hair. So, like, if I were to cut up like this, there would be just, like, this little tiny thin strip here. I don't know what to tell you. I just wish I had your hair, man. That's all.
I appreciate it. It was overdue. I was trying to go for, like, the really long, grown-out look. I hadn't cut it since November, been 4 months, and I had like a good, like almost probably 4 inches of hair on the side and everything. But I just got to the point where I'm like, I miss it. I miss the Viking cut. Like I miss just having the clean shaved sides and it feels good. I just keep touching my own head like all day. I'm just like, oh yeah, feels great.
Man, I just got a haircut and I went down to a 1 on the sides and back, and I feel you, man. You like to like kind of rub up on that and good luck, right? You rub it hard.
Yeah, I go full on skin shave all the way down. So it's fun and smooth, although it only lasts for like 1 day for me and then it starts sandpapering.
Sure.
So it's been almost 24 hours, so it's starting to get a little prickly.
Yeah, mine comes back quick too. So I should probably just go do a straight blade for that, because I'll have a 1 in like 3 days, right?
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to kind of get into it here. We've got a lot of news, including some news that just dropped. So we're going to get into it here with NFL news and notes. All right, guys. So if you have not heard, Marvin Jones is back in Detroit Rock City, folks. He signed with the Detroit Lions. Now, it's cool to see the little homecoming for Jones. You know, he played most of his career there, has played most of his career there. However, I don't really care from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, if he's somebody you've got kind of stashed deeply on like a real deep league, he's a bench piece, fine. You're not going to be able to move him, but there's no reason to go out and acquire him. It's a nice story, but don't think that you need to go try and get Marvin Jones.
Yeah, I mean, he's the third option at best in their passing attack, right? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown has established himself as being a high-volume slot, and they're really, I think, going to want to see Jameson Williams a lot in year two now that he's healthy. Really going to let that Ferrari out of the garage. So it's good. I think it's good for their offense as a whole. He's a nice veteran piece to have in that wide receiver room. Really good for coaching up the younger guys, you know, just give them a really steady veteran to learn from. And good for him, but I'm not really interested in him for fantasy, but it is kind of interesting what he can do for that offense. And maybe it gives Jared Goff a little bit more stability, who, by the way, is the most underrated quarterback in fantasy football. Jared Goff, like, was torching it last year. Like,
sure.
You can still go and get him probably for a second. And if you can do that in dynasty leagues, I'd probably go acquire that if you need a second quarterback.
Well, I love what you just said. This Detroit offense is going to be phenomenal this season. They've got weapons. John, don't let those headphones die on us again this week.
Oh, no. They were charged until a minute before I got on here. They're not dying.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, this is good for the team as a whole, because like you said, you've got this guy coaching up these kids in the wide receiver room. You know, Amon-Ra going into his third season, Jameson Williams going into his second. But outside of that, I mean, best ball, if you're someone who plays best ball, not a bad late round flyer, very last pick of your draft if it's kind of a deep draft, because he might have a game or two where he has a touchdown or two. It's entirely possible. But outside of that, really,
six. I think he'll have like 6 on the entire season, and one of them will be a multi-touchdown week. Like that's how Marvin Jones tends to operate.
Oh, that sounds about right. You know, but like you said, for Jared Goff, I think this is good too, because it's a little bit of a safety blanket. And I think people forget that Jared Goff did win an NFL MVP. He was a very good quarterback in Los Angeles. Things went kind of sideways there. But do you think that Jared Goff is a guy who could get back to that, not necessarily MVP form, but like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL as far as fantasy goes, even in dynasties? He's someone you want to acquire right now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that he's flirting with around QB10 to QB12. I think is probably a pretty fair place to rank him. That offense, dude, they were balling last year. I don't have the numbers in front of me because I wasn't like preparing to have this discussion, but they were one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. He was like top 5 in a lot of different metrics at the quarterback position. He can play. Like, I know that Dynasty Twitter wants to make fun of him all the time, be like, oh, it's Jared Goff and all this. Like, yeah, like he had basically 1.5 down years in LA, got a change of scenery, is performing well. The team and management seems to really like him. They're not moving on from him right now. they're building around. Like, they're like, okay, cool. We feel good at quarterback to the point where we're going to invest in other positions. Like, they're not going to trade up and take a quarterback in the first round this year. They're going to continue to fill out other needs on the roster. So, yeah, I think that he's probably the cheapest fringe QB1 that you can acquire in dynasty leagues. Did you mute yourself or did my headphones die? I swear if it's my headphones.
I'm here. We're good.
Oh, God.
Scared. Yeah, I do that sometimes. I would go out and acquire Goff. I feel like right now the price is still low.
Yeah.
But I think people after the draft, I think people are going to kind of catch up to this and realize like, hey, wait a minute. Jared Goff had a pretty good season. And like, he's not an especially old quarterback, right? I mean, he's still got a number of years ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
He's 28 years old. I mean, quarterbacks. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 39.
Yeah. So, total fantasy points last year at the quarterback position, 2, 4, 6, 8, QB10. That's how he finished last season. And if you tell me that he's right around there again at the end of this year, I'm not going to be shocked at all. He's going to be right in that 10 to 12, maybe 14 range if he has a couple down weeks. But this offense wants to throw. And that, by the way, that was with a running back in Jamal Williams that stole a ton of goal line opportunities last year. You convert some of those now that Jamal's gone, convert some of those into passing touchdowns instead of just inside the five, hand it off to Jamal Williams and let him fall into the end zone almost 20 times. Like, that's a quarterback that is going to produce.
Well, and that's the thing. They went out and they got David Montgomery, but David Montgomery isn't that goal line guy. I mean, he can do it, but he's not the bruiser that Jamal Williams was. So I think Jared Goff is a buy right now in this offense, which is, I didn't think we were going to talk about this today at all. Here we are. Thanks, Marvin Jones. So let's move on here real quick. Oh, and I just want to shout out Dave Stewart of In Between Media, who before last season in one of his columns said, go get Jared Goff. He is a buy. And he was, Dave, you were 100% correct, sir. So our next piece of news here is we found out on Monday, Lamar Jackson requested a trade on my birthday, March 2nd. Clearly, he doesn't believe that he's going to get paid in Baltimore. So what do you think happens here? If he doesn't find a new landing spot, does he sit out 2023? Does he play for Baltimore, a team that he knows isn't going to give him a paycheck? Because this isn't like Le'Veon Bell. When Le'Veon Bell sat out, a lot of us wondered, okay, dude, but you're a running back. And after sitting a year and you're getting older and with the wear and tear on you in Pittsburgh, you're not going to get the contract you think you're going to get. That's different for a guy like Lamar Jackson, right?
I mean, it is different because he's only 26 years old and he's a former NFL MVP. I am honestly just very perplexed by how this entire thing is shaking out this offseason. You continue to hear coaches and front office people saying, we're not interested. We're good. We like who we have in the building. Like, they keep saying it, and it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Lamar Jackson's a good quarterback that offers elite rushing ability to put defenses in constant state of stress. So I don't understand why teams wouldn't be interested in him unless there's something else at play. If it's a personality thing, if it's a durability thing, if it's a black quarterback thing, if it's the guaranteed contract thing, there's a lot of different stuff out there. It's the guaranteed contract. I really think that ownership across the league, there's got to be some sort of collusion taking place. They're going, we're not going to bend to this. We're not going to make guaranteed contracts a normal thing. That is just how things get negotiated going forward. So we're refusing to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And if that's the case, and if nothing new happens for Lamar, and there's like no smoke to think that anything's building right now for Lamar. And it could happen. Something could always pop up. We could get reports saying, yeah, they've received multiple phone calls. But as of right now, there's nothing out there suggesting that there's any conversations even happening. If that's the case, I think that he plays. Personally, I don't see him holding out. But maybe he does. Maybe he's just so fed up by the whole situation and feels so insulted by Baltimore's offers that he gives him a giant middle finger and says, I'm just going to sit out the entire year then and then try my luck next year.
I think he's going to end up on another team, John.
You think so? You think someone's going to pull the trigger?
I do. So we heard what Arthur Blank said at league meetings this week where he said,
yeah,
We don't want to give guaranteed money to a guy who his running style lends into injury, which we know is not true. You're more likely to suffer an injury as a pocket passer than you are as a mobile quarterback, which if you've ever watched the game makes sense. He can get out of some of those bigger tackles and he's not going to get smashed in the pocket like a guy like Tom Brady would get because he's just not mobile and he can't move around as much. But here's a team that I think is intriguing. And I don't think I'm alone in this because today, watching NFL Network like we do all day, they always scroll a ton of different mock drafts on the ticker at the bottom. If you noticed, all of a sudden, these mock drafts have Indy going defense with that number four pick. Hmm. We know Jim Irsay isn't afraid to spend money. We know Jim Irsay is kind of crazy. And we know Indy needs a quarterback. Now, they've tried the veteran thing for three seasons in a row. Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. It didn't work. However, this is a situation where you know Lamar Jackson's talent and skill. And like you said, he's 26 years old. Indy has the money to do it, or they can figure out a way to have the money to do it. And right. Why wait when you've got Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman? These are guys, Jelani Woods. These are guys who are ready to go now. So then they can focus on maybe getting some receiving depth later on in the draft and shoring up their defense in the first round. It almost sounds too good to be true. If he goes to Indy, first of all, they win the division. No doubt. They win that division. But I think that he could turn that into a team that they're not going to go to the Super Bowl in 2023. But this is a team that could very well make a deep run in the playoffs his first year in Indianapolis. If you're going to give him a very talented offensive line, if they're healthy, and Jonathan Taylor behind him, if he can stay healthy, and he's never had a target like Michael Pittman, and then you unlock 6'7", 253-pound Jelani Woods as the Mark Andrews in this offense, and Shane Steichen has already worked with Jalen Hurts. He knows how to work with that mobile-style quarterback with great success. Mm-hmm. I would love to see this.
So here's an interesting thing regarding the tag that he's on, that non-exclusive tag. I'm pretty sure, and I heard this a couple times earlier this week, that if a team were to wait until after the NFL draft to make an offer for the non-exclusive tag, it would be including the 24 and 25 first round picks. Because if they were to do it before the draft, they have to give up this year's first and next year's to Baltimore. If Baltimore doesn't match the offer sheet that team is providing them. So to me, I think it would be a massive gamble for Indy to go through the draft and say, okay, well, we're not going to take a quarterback in the first round. We're not going to take one there at four. We're going to go best player available, Will Anderson, whatever it is. And then after the draft, try and get him on this non-exclusive tag. Because if it doesn't work out, what's their option? Like, if it doesn't work out, then they're screwed. Now, are they comfortable with that? Are they either saying it's Lamar Jackson or we're tanking for next year and try to go get a Caleb Williams or Drake May? Like, are they comfortable making that gamble? But it's a massive gamble to say we're going to go through the draft with the fourth overall pick. We're not going to take a quarterback because we don't think anyone sitting there is worthy of it. And we're going to try to get Lamar Jackson after. So it's messy. It's messy at best. And it's really, really hard to figure out kind of how this is going to shake out for Lamar Jackson in the coming months. I don't have an answer.
Sure. I mean, I like the idea of him going to Indy for a lot of reasons.
It
doesn't necessarily work. But I'm just going to go back to this, then we'll move on to our next storyline here. Next news note. It's Jim Irsay. Dude's a wild card. He's insane. The man is insane. Whether you like him, love him, hate him, whatever, he's the guy who would be the one to pull this off. We know Washington's out. We know Atlanta's out. Teams that are QB needy mostly are out. They're looking at the draft.
New England, San Francisco, Desmond Ridder. All of them.
Right. Yeah, those teams are out. Mm-hmm. Indy seems like if something's going to happen and he's going to leave Baltimore, it's going to be to Indy. That's just kind of where I'm sitting on it.
I could see that. I could see that being the most likely scenario out of an unlikely scenario. You know what I mean? Like, sure. If it's going to happen, I could see Jim Irsay getting a wild hair and saying, okay, make it happen. Do whatever it takes.
Yep. Okay. So the next thing we're going to talk about here, and this is an interesting signing to me. DJ Chark signs with the Carolina Panthers. We talked about it on the In-Between Media show last night. I talked about it with Seth. We talked about it with Eric Romoff at Fantasy Nav from Green Screens Media. What do you think Chark's ceiling is here? I mean, if you look at this wide receiver room, Adam Thielen, Terrace Marshall, and Laviska Shenault really is what they've got. Okay. if it's Stroud behind center, which we're all pretty much assuming it's going to be CJ Stroud behind center, wide receiver three, could he sneak into that wide receiver two category?
I think he's a three at best. Like, I'm not going, oh, well, this changes everything and I'm going to go try to acquire him. I think that he's had many opportunities to prove to us that he is worth something, and he hasn't really shown it. So it really doesn't do a whole lot for me, to be honest. It doesn't really move the needle. I think it's an interesting athletic signing for Carolina, who seems to be content tearing it all down to then try and rebuild it in the same offseason by spending money on veterans. I don't know what the hell they're doing, to be quite frank. Thielen's going to be the red zone guy if they ever get into the red zone. I don't really know. I don't really see how he's anything more than like a boom bust wide receiver three. And picking those weeks, like, I don't want to deal with that headache as a fantasy manager. That's going to be really tough to figure out, like, when am I going to put this guy in my starting lineup?
I mean, his best season was 2019 in Jacksonville. He finishes a PPR wide receiver 17 with 8 touchdowns, had 118 targets, but he hasn't gotten close to that in any other season.
What year was that?
2019.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
We haven't seen anything from him since before COVID.
Nope. So, yeah, 13 games in 2020, 4 games in 2021, and 11 games in 2022, where he finished wide receiver 76. So I'm kind of with you, John. I mean, in dynasty, again, probably a really solid best ball target at the very back end of a draft where he's going. But for dynasty, I'm definitely not running out to try and acquire him. It just doesn't simply make sense to me.
Right.
Now, something that does make sense to me that makes me very happy: Kyle Shanahan in league meetings reiterated that Brock Purdy is the guy once he's healthy. This team believes in him. He went 7-1, had 14 touchdowns and 1 interception. Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. The guy was one of the better quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks last season, even though he got overlooked. And look, if you watch his film, the guy was a presence on the field. He wasn't a placeholder for this team. He got them to the playoffs and got them deep into the playoffs until he got hurt. I really believe that if he hadn't got hurt in that NFC championship game, we might've had San Francisco in the Super Bowl. I think that he could have competed with Philly. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen. Where do you buy this out of Shanahan? Is it smoke? Do you think that if Trey Lance comes in and plays the first couple of weeks of the season, that maybe Lance takes over that starter role and then we're throwing Purdy to the side?
What I think is really interesting is that Kyle Shanahan goes into this knowing that Brock Purdy is currently injured. So you know that this is a guy that's hurt and that is going to be missing time. He's not going to be ready for the start of the regular season. If you know that you're going to need Trey Lance to start or Sam Darnold to come in, which is why they brought him in as well, is because they don't really have any idea. It's just a big juggling game that they're currently playing at the quarterback position. Like, you know that Brock Purdy's injured. Why are you going to go out and already say, this is our dude when he's healthy? If you believe in Trey Lance and want to give him an opportunity to start the year and earn the role. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It should be like, yeah, well, we still believe in Trey and we think he's got a ton of upside. And, you know, we're excited to get him on the field and see what he can do. It's like, that would have been a very easy stock answer to make. And he didn't do it. He said, no, we're going to go with Mr. Irrelevant from last year when he's back and healthy. So to me, I'm taking that kind of at face value. I think that Brock Purdy has earned the respect from the teammates. I think he's got the locker room and from the coaches to say, this guy can operate our offense when he's on the field and healthy. And when he is healthy enough to play, he's going to play. So the big question now is, what does that mean for Trey Lance? You're muted.
Is he cooked?
Twice in one show.
I know. I'm sorry. Is he cooked in San Francisco? Like, it kind of feels like we've seen the end of Trey Lance having an opportunity in San Francisco, barring some major injuries, which could very well happen. It's why Purdy got on the field. Now, it's too soon to call him a bust. We've only seen him start 4 games. But do you think he's going to have a change of scenery to show what he can do if he ever wants to start in the NFL again? Are you willing to, at a very low price, go after him in Dynasty just in case he gets traded or moved at some point over the next couple of seasons?
Yeah, so here's the thing. in Superflex dynasty leagues, you can never have too many quarterbacks. I tend to make that mistake a lot where I don't have enough depth quarterbacks. And then something happens in an offseason where one moves or a guy gets benched or Tom Brady retires or whatever the case is. And then I'm sitting there going, shoot, I am now short on quarterbacks going into next season. This is the kind of trade that you should be making right now on the news that's not favorable for him because his price is only going down right now. So to me, yeah, I'll go out and try to see if I can get Trey Lance really cheap. And he's just taken a bench spot and hope that he gets an opportunity to start somewhere at some point. But we know the upside is there. I'm not saying that the upside, like his ceiling, is what we should expect him to hit. But if you give up a late rookie pick for it and you get him on your roster and he does hit that ceiling, it is just a monumental win for your dynasty team. So yeah, he's a speculative guy. I think that a change of scenery is probably likely for him. I don't know if they're going to find a trade partner that wants to go out and trade for him because he's only played 4 games in the NFL, but he could be someone that hits free agency in a year. Because at this point, are they going to pick up his 5th-year option knowing that they've got Brock? Like, no, they're not going to pick up his option. So if he's going into free agency and a team goes, you know what, he's uber athletic and we want to bring him in and, you know, give him a 2-year deal and see if he can compete for a starting job. Sure.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. I'll try to speculatively go out and trade for him. See if I can get him cheap.
Yeah. If you can get him for a 3rd or 4th round pick, like those picks don't, that's when you're kind of in a dart throw mode. Like when you go to your rookie drafts, it's a, maybe they will, maybe they won't, which I got Daniel Bellinger late in a lot of drafts and then was really happy. And then now I'm just really incredibly sad about it. But you know what, John, speaking of, I think we have a little mock draft of our own. That's why the people are here.
It's time.
It is time with our new screen setup that I love so much. So you guys can see more of the mock. Here we are, John. So we're going to get this draft rolling here. Go ahead and click start draft there. Now, here's the thing. We already know who's going 101, right? Even though that this is a super flex 12-team PPR, it's still Bijan.
It is for me. The draft is going to have a lot to say about it. He should absolutely be a first-round draft pick. Why don't you pause the timer on this or turn the timer off in the settings? That way it doesn't auto-pick anything for you.
Oh, it's 10 minutes.
Oh, that looked like a 0 to me. I thought it was a 1 minute. He should be a first-round draft pick. He should go somewhere where he's going to be a workhorse back, and I think that that's safe for us to assume when doing this mock draft right now. And if that's the case, to me, he's just an uber talented running back. He's a freaking stud. I don't know how else I don't know what superlatives to put on Bijan Robinson's name. He's best running back in the class. Good. Oh, he's the best running back in the last 4, maybe 5 years. I mean, he's special. If you need a quarterback and you like where one of the top guys goes and you want to take a quarterback at first overall in a super flex league, I'm not going to balk at that at all. But for the sake of argument, I think it's Bijan at first overall.
So we're going with Bijan for that first pick. Now, the second pick, this is where it gets more interesting to me because we're talking super flex. If you need a quarterback, I mean, you kind of have to go Bryce Young here, right? I think he has the highest upside given the weapons that are likely to do.
You kind of glitched out on me. Were you saying that the weapons that they're likely to put around them in Houston? Is that what we're assuming?
In Houston, I think I personally would go Bryce Young here over CJ Stroud. Now, it's not that I don't believe in CJ Stroud, nor do I necessarily think that Bryce Young is a better quarterback than CJ Stroud. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think the Houston Texans is a better situation for a quarterback to start, like out of the gate.
Well, why don't you make your pick and say CJ Stroud and then, or Bryce Young or whoever it is that you want. And then I'll make the next pick and I'll explain to you why I think that you're wrong.
Okay, let's go. So I'm going to take Bryce Young. You can tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay, so let's say that CJ Stroud goes first overall to Carolina. The reason why I prefer CJ Stroud over Bryce Young, I think that CJ Stroud is the best natural passer in this draft class, although Bryce Young is still very, very talented at it. Bryce Young wins from a cerebral perspective. He thinks the quarterback position incredibly well. He's an elite processor, understands defensive coverages, things like that. I think CJ Stroud has an edge in terms of arm talent. I think that CJ Stroud has a massive edge in terms of just size. I don't have any concerns there in terms of size with CJ Stroud, whereas I kind of do with Bryce Young. I agree with you, though, that if Bryce Young goes to Houston and then they double down with getting him a wide receiver, then that puts him in a really friendly spot. I will say about CJ Stroud, the coaching staff that they're putting together in Carolina has so much experience that I think that it's a really friendly place for a quarterback to develop and grow. I think that if he goes to Carolina, they're bringing in a bunch of veteran weapons. It's not like it's a wasteland. Like Adam Thielen is a talented wide receiver. Yeah, sure. He's getting up there in age, but he's a really friendly target for a quarterback. Same thing can be said. DJ Shark at least gives them some athleticism on the outside. Terrace Marshall, maybe he pencils in as being like a big slot or something like that. I don't really know how they would want to shake out this wide receiver room at this point, but it's not a horrible landing spot for him to go. And their offensive line is actually pretty decent in Carolina.
Right,
so
right.
I think that it's an okay spot for him to go. And then they're looking at the next year or two after this in terms of really retooling with youth at the wide receiver right. position and making sure that he's primed to continue to grow. So for me, Stroud is my QB1 in the class. And I don't really care what team at the top he goes to. I don't really think that's going to change for me. I think that he's locked into being my QB1. So for me, that's my pick here at the 103.
All right. So we're going to, which was funny enough, actually my pick.
Yeah, that's funny.
Here. So there you go. All right. So now we're moving on to pick 4. With this quarterback class, I'm not really comfortable with Anthony Richardson higher in the first round,
yeah,
in the front end of the first round, nor with Will Levis, because now we're hearing talk that there are people talking about him sliding out of the first round altogether, which I don't think is actually going to happen. But if that does happen, he slides out of the first round in these rookie drafts too. He has to. Mm-hmm. So this comes down to, and I'm going to say this, I want to qualify with all these picks. Every league is different and every team's need is different. I just took Michael Mayer in the first round of our Chaos League rookie draft because, well, it's double super flex with two flex, other additional flex positions. And I have to start two tight ends every week.
Oh, yeah.
And I was leaning on Cole Kmet. So again, every draft is going to be a little bit different. For the purposes of this draft, I want that second best running back in this class.
Okay.
Because he is a very talented pass catching back as well. And it's PPR format. So you're doubling up almost here. He's going to get the PPR points. Even if he gets 3, 4, 5 catches a game, 2, 3, 4 catches a game, there's value there. And we had talked about him possibly ending up in New Orleans with the Alvin Kamara situation. And if that happens, he just plugs into that Kamara role alongside Jameson Williams, which I think is a big deal. So for the 4th pick, I'm going with Jahmyr Gibbs because I love the talent. And he's a guy that I'm okay kind of reaching on in these rookie drafts because I want him rostered.
Yeah. No, and I hear that. Gibbs is a really, really fascinating running back, and I'm sure that I'm going to end up with a pretty good amount of him as well. He's small, and that's the only difference really between him and Alvin Kamara. Kamara's got like 15 plus pounds on him. So Kamara does have more thump to him, but Kamara also has never had a season with over 1,000 rushing yards.
Right.
And he's been an elite fantasy asset because of what he can do in the passing game. Jahmyr Gibbs is exactly the same. And when he's in the open field, he is as dangerous and electric as it gets. He's so hard to tackle. He's so slippery. One of my favorite comps that I heard this draft cycle during the combine, they put him up on the screen side by side with Jamal Charles. And I lost my mind because they are really, really similar size and style. Obviously, we're talking Jamal Charles, one of the most explosive, dangerous players to ever play in the NFL, not just at the running back position. And I'm not saying Gibbs is quite there, but it's a really, really interesting stylistic comp that this is a home run hitter. You get the ball to him in the passing game, and he's a threat to score from anywhere on the field. So you're not going to get any argument out of me for Jahmyr Gibbs. I go Jackson Smith and Jigba here really easily because right there at the 4-5, this is a very standard start to these rookie mocks from what I'm seeing so far. And if I've got the fifth pick, I'm just taking whichever of Gibbs or Jackson Smith and Jigba falls to me. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to go in the first round. It's just a matter of where. I think there's a pretty decent chance that Chicago decides to punt offensive line in the first round in favor of taking Jackson Smith and Jigba and then coming back and getting O-line help on day two. Because that seems to be Ryan Poles is really, really good at analyzing those kind of smaller school offensive linemen and finding really good value there. Braxton Jones, their left tackle last year, played all 17 games at left tackle, was a fifth round pick out of Southern Utah. So if they punt and they go Jackson Smith and Jigba and you give me an offense with him, Justin Fields and DJ Moore, we are cooking with gas and I will be thrilled about that. So even if it's not Chicago, he is an elite route running wide receiver that is just a savant at getting open. Clocking in at around a 4.5 at his pro day for his 40 time. Great. That's great. That's fine by me for him, for his style of play. So this to me is the best wide receiver in this draft class. A great route runner that is going to be a target hog at the next level in PPR formats. I mean, this is a guy that is, you know, 100 plus reception upside wide receiver at some point in his career, obviously probably not as a rookie, but I think that he develops into being one of the best route running wide receivers in the NFL. So JSN for me here at 5.
I have everything you said. That's exactly where I would have gone with this pick as well. So now we've got Jackson.
Now it gets interesting to me. I think the first five this is where pretty much solidified, but from here on, it's a lot more loosey-goosey.
So yeah, this is where it gets interesting because now we're looking at a whole host of players that we've talked a little bit less about over the course of the last month or so. Mm-hmm. Not significantly less, but here's what I'm going to say. Now, I liked Bryce Young with that second pick, and I like the receiver I think he's going to be paired with after the 14th pick when Houston picks him, Quentin Johnson out of TCU.
All right.
Big hands, quality target. He's a little bit raw. We know that. But I think that he'll adapt to the NFL rather quickly. He's got Nico Collins there for some help. He's got Dalton Schultz. And if they add Quentin Johnson, you've put in a very talented trio of pass catchers for this
guy. May I? Real quick.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Don't forget about John Mechie. When he gets back John on Mechie. The field. And right. That was Bryce Young's wide receiver in college too. So That's really fun. John Mechie to me is going to get back and get healthy. And I can't wait to see him play. But you have a lot of young talent at wide receiver. Especially if you had Quentin Johnson into this mix. So sorry to take over.
No. This is a conversation. It's not a dictatorship here. even though you kind of look a little bit like you could be a dictator. I'm not going to lie.
Hey,
a Viking dictator though, right? We need to get some braids in that beard, John.
I've done it before. Maybe next week I'll throw some braids in.
All right. I love it. So we're going to go Quentin Johnson here with the sixth pick. Now Seth has requested to make this pick. So I'm going to pop up here. We're going to say, hey, Seth.
You're on the clock, bro.
And which way do you think he's going to go?
I think it's going to be I think he's a bit of a contrarian, and I think he'd take Zach Charbonnet over Jordan Addison. Oh, Erich. He didn't even blink.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this for a minute because I really don't hate this pick.
I don't either. I think that he has a world of upside. We know his athletic testing was, you know, out of this universe.
He's a freak.
He's a freak athletically. And I think that he's more polished as a passer than people want to give him credit for. I think that he has a lot of arm talent, can make timing throws, has the arm strength to lay it out there to all parts of the field. So I think that he has the upside, and I think that he's going to go in the first five picks in the NFL draft. So I don't hate this at all. I remember the year that Justin Herbert came out, he was very consistently going between like 107, 108 in the back of the first round as the third quarterback in his draft class with Tua and Burrow. Richardson kind of feels like that to me. He has the upside where he could be on the same, you know, playing field as those other quarterbacks in terms of dynasty value after a really short period of time, if he goes to the right landing spot, gets some help and has weapons to throw to. So I'm very curious how the NFL draft is going to go for Anthony Richardson, because with the Cardinals sitting there with the third pick. The third pick to me is what gets interesting. Are we going to have a team trade up to three to try to take Anthony Richardson away from the Colts? Because if Richardson falls into the Colts' lap at four, I have a hard time thinking they don't make that pick. Like, I know that we've been talking about the possibility of them doing the Lamar Jackson thing and stuff like that. But if Richardson is available to the Colts at four, I don't know how you pass on that with your needs on the roster. So is there going to be a team that tries to jump them to land him?
Yeah, I was hoping Seth would give me something to roast him about, because he loves to roast me on the In-Between show. But I'm with you, man. I think he's the most physically talented quarterback in this draft. He's not the best quarterback, but I also think he has the highest ceiling of any of these guys. If he hits, he is going to hit. And it is going to be big time. It's how I felt about Malik Willis. And I still think there's a chance that Malik Willis could hit at the NFL. He's going to need some time. I think Richardson might be able to adapt to the NFL a little bit quicker, especially, I mean, coming out of the SEC, he's played against some very talented teams, very talented defenses. So, Seth, this is a good pick, man. I love it. All right, now, Beard, you're back on the clock, my friend. I'm going to let you take your actual pick here.
Cool.
The 108. What are you thinking here, John?
To me, I think it's a pretty screaming value on Jordan Addison. I love Addison. To me, a lot of the same things that I said about Jackson Smith and Jigba, you can say about Addison. He's a great route runner. He's one of the only wide receivers in this draft that can lose defenders, like confuse them in his routes. Like a Justin Jefferson, and I think I've made that comparison in terms of skill set on this show before, in terms of saying Justin Jefferson loses defenders, and when the ball is thrown to him, sometimes the camera pans over and you see Justin Jefferson by himself with no defender within 20 yards of him. Jordan Addison can kind of do that that same thing, where he can cross people up. And
well, you know how much I love Jordan Addison.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite players in this draft, and it's partially because he grew up close to our buddy Herms.
Oh, nice.
But I really like the skill, and I think it was really smart of him to transfer from Pitt to USC, get some national exposure that he wasn't going to get at a smaller school like Pitt.
Yeah,
and I think wherever he lands, like I've said many times before, he's a wide receiver two on any team that drafts him, if not the wide receiver one, depending on where he lands.
And being the wide receiver two on a good team is not a bad thing. Devonta Smith, Higgins. Last year, they went out and T. Higgins, they went out and they traded for AJ Brown and bring him into Philly. And they desperately needed to bring in a true one so that Devonta Smith can thrive as the number two.
Yes.
Same thing with Jordan Addison. He goes to a team. He goes to Buffalo opposite Stephon Diggs. I'm going to – like, I will implode with excitement if that happens. So anything like that. He goes – if somehow the Raiders land him. Like, I'm not talking in terms of a realistic landing spot in terms of where they're slated in the first round. But if he lands at the Raiders opposite Devontae Adams, like any of those situations where he's a solid – route running, crisp number two option.
Right.
You're cooking. He can still turn in top 15 fantasy production value as a number two wide receiver on a good offense.
Absolutely.
So to me, Jordan Addison. Yep.
No, this is a great pick. Now we're going to move on. We've got the 109. We're going to wrap up this first round and get you guys out of here. I'm sticking wide receiver here. Now, I think Zay Flowers is the third best wide receiver in this class. And I think everything you said about Jordan Addison kind of applies to Flowers, except he's faster.
Let me tell you how I have my rankings. Right now at the top, I have Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, then Quentin Johnson. So that's, you're not going to get any argument out of the Zay Flower love from me. I love Zay.
He's a talented receiver. He's everything you want in a receiver. He runs routes well. Quick, big hands, no argument. I love it. Now, you've got the 110 here, John. Seeing the board in front of you, what do you think you want to do here with the 110?
Things start to get really interesting and also annoying
here
at the back of the first, because there's so many guys that I like, and you can make so many arguments. And I think the draft is gonna have something to say about it. For me, I don't move players like outside of their own tier based on landing spots. But if I've got guys ranked very, very similarly, landing spot might be the difference maker for me in terms of selecting them. So this is where it starts getting annoying. I'll tell you that this is between two players for me. It's between Zach Charbonnet and Josh Downs, who are at the top of the board right now. Charbonnet is a big, powerful running back who also has really good receiving ability for his size. I think that he's checked a lot of boxes. I know that we've had conversations about Charbonnet in terms of him maybe being a little bit too much of a fantasy darling in the community, but I was almost kind of expecting him to make leaps up into like the 5-6 range for people because the hype was just going nuts, and it didn't. And he's still available here as a late first. And I think that that's a fine place for him to be. Josh Downs to me though is such an explosive wide receiver with contested catch ability, despite his size, that I'm going to lean Josh Downs, because if I'm picking between running back and wide receiver in a dynasty format, typically I'm going to lean on the wide receiver side of things, unless we're looking at like a really elite talent, because I like building my dynasty teams around wide receiver depth. So for me, I'm going to go Josh Downs. I think Josh Downs should also be a first round pick, a late first in the NFL draft. Whereas I don't see Charbonnet going in the first. He should probably go day two early. But we're talking about Josh Downs being a round one wide receiver talent that is just silky smooth and ability to make contested catches down the field with great hands. Give me Josh Downs.
Well, I'm really glad that's the route you went. If I am holding the 111, so we've got Josh Downs at the 110 here in this rookie draft, super flex PPR 12 team, because I like Zach Charbonnet because I think he's going to be a touchdown hog. It might not be his rookie season. He's going to be a touchdown hog at some point. He's just that type of player. So I'm taking him at the 111, and I don't care really where he lands. I mean, yep. Unless he, like, for some reason ends up in New York with the Jets, that's probably a really horrible situation for him, but that's obviously not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Wherever he goes, he's going to be a goal line type back. He's going to be that between the tackles guy who has the ability to get outside and still does have some of that late breakaway speed. Even though he didn't test especially amazing, I still think he's a phenomenal talent. So real quick, I want to recap what we've done here in the first round for our audio listeners. We've got with the 101, Bijan Robinson; with the 102, Bryce Young; with the 103, CJ Stroud; the 104, Jahmyr Gibbs; the 105, Jaxon Smith-Njigba; the 106 is Quentin Johnson; 107, our boy Seth took Anthony Richards; the 108, we've got Jordan Addison coming off of the board; the 109, we've got Zay Flowers coming off the board; the 110, we've got Josh Downs coming off the board. Then with the 111, Zach Charbonnet comes off the board. And we're down to the last pick of the first round before we get out of here. John, who do you think warrants this last pick? We've got some good names still available.
There's really good, really good names still on the board. I love the late first into like midway through the second this year. There's a lot of good names that have high upside with pretty good floors. A lot of running backs left that could be, you know, high workload running backs of the next level. Sean Tucker, Tank Bigsby, Condre Miller. Going even further down the board, I mean, just names. Tyjae Spears, who I love. He's going to be a great round two pick. There's other wide receivers. I just want to touch on these names so you're well of them before we get out of here today. Marvin Mims, really good, underrated
Roshan wide receiver. Johnson.
Roshan Johnson, who I love, who could have a lot of value.
You've got Chase Brown still on the board. Love him or hate him. Kayshon Booty's probably going to be more of a goal line type back wherever he lands, since he just doesn't have that explosiveness.
Izzy Abanaconda. I mean, he's another really explosive running back. There's so many guys. I really want to kind of go a little rogue with this last pick, and I don't hate it whatsoever. And I want to take tight end Dalton Kincaid. And let me talk to you about me some Dalton Kincaid. This dude is so talented with the ball in the air.
It's true.
Like, his ability to high point the ball, contort his body control at his size for a tight end, and his just arrogant hands. Like, his catch radius is massive. If it is anywhere inside his arm radius, he's going to find a way to contort his body and put two hands on it and come down with it in double coverage. Like, he just has so much ability with the ball in the air. The tight end position is, you know, largely a wasteland in fantasy, and it has been basically forever. But this is a tight end to me that has elite level upside at the position at the next level, because he is dangerous after the catch. He has the athleticism that you're looking for, the length, the hands, the contested catch ability. Dalton Kincaid checks like every box. And I think he's going to get drafted in the first round. And I think he's going to be the first tight end off the board. Like, it's been Michael Meyer for forever. Like, for the last 2 years, everyone's been looking at this class saying it's baby Gronk. And he's going to be the guy that gets drafted first. But I genuinely believe that Dalton Kincaid is going to be the first tight end that gets drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, and that he can slot into any offense as a really, really dangerous receiving threat. So to me, I don't want to pass on him. Like, I don't want to wait and miss out on him for another running back that, you know, may or may not pan out and who has a shorter shelf life. But if in fantasy, if you get a tight end that is just plugged into your lineup week in and week out, positional advantage over your opponent, that is
you're one of three teams in your league that can do that.
Yeah.
If you're able to do that.
Kincaid has that upside. Trey McBride last year, locked and loaded round two pick in like every rookie draft that I was in. And what did we see down the stretch last year? Him bursting onto the scene in a big way. If he takes that next step into being a top 5 to 8 dynasty tight end, it's the same sort of thing to me. I think Dalton Kincaid is a great pick.
Yep. I agree with you. I'll just say this. Mike Gesicki plus. He's got size. He's more of a receiving type tight end. He's not as big as like a Rob Gronkowski or a Travis Kelce or a Mark Andrews even. He's got that slider frame, but he's bigger than your average wide receiver, which is why he plays tight end. But he's a pass-catching tight end. This isn't a guy that a team is going to draft in the first round or second round of the NFL draft and ask to block more than they ask them to run routes.
No.
But he does have that blocking ability, which is going to keep him on the field for play action.
He's not leaving the field. Any team that takes him in the first round, he's on the field in every package that you're wanting to run. And then you can design really creative things. Like, you go jumbo with two tight ends on the field with Dalton Kincaid in line. And then from an inline position, you can have him run routes and put yourself in a mismatch against linebackers. Like, there's so many things. He's just a chess piece for an offense. And I'm really excited to see Kincaid on Sundays. Like, I love him.
Me too. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up the first round and this episode of Dynasty Diehards. We will be posting this draft on our socials. So if you're not following us on the Twitter bird, we are at FF Dino Diehards. You see at the bottom of the screen. Also, make sure you are subscribed to the Razzball YouTube channel so you don't miss an episode of the Diehards and all of our other phenomenal fantasy content. And we will be posting this on Friday as an audio-only episode on the Razzball Podcast Network. So make sure that you are following them there. Get notifications set downloads for the episode. We're here to help you win your leagues, guys. That's all we want to do. We're going to follow all this crazy news and all these mock drafts so you don't have to. John, it's been a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, likewise, as always. Can't wait for next week.
All right, guys, we're going to get you out of here. Until next week, see you later. I stay loose, I stay hype. I stay loose, I stay hype. I stay loose, I stay hype. I could do this all night, cause I do what I like. Yeah, I do what I like. Yeah, I do what I like.